It's kind of the same like form and function. There is some of it as well, right? Where sometimes you say like, what does matter? Is it less, but like super high quality, so it feels good, or more, but is like, you know, where it becomes a bit clumsy. Right? I actually think that Omni Focus is exceptionally ergonomic. I think it's actually exceptionally ergonomic if you look at the outline manipulation part, right? Because that's, to me, what it is. It's a very sophisticated outline manipulator with nice UI around it, right? Being like, I used a lot of, like, I like thinking in trees and doing outlines and lots of other things, right? And the ease with which I can do it here, right, manipulate this outline, assign attributes, etc., is very high.
You're listening to The Omni Show, where we connect with the amazing community surrounding the Omni Group's award-winning products. My name's Andrew J. Mason, and today we learn how Victor Savkin uses OmniFocus.
Well, welcome everybody to this episode of The Omni Show. My name's Andrew J. Mason, and today we're honored to be able to hang out with Victor Savkin. He's the CTO at NX. He's an ex-Googler and the creator of NX and NX Cloud. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But Victor, thank you so much for joining us. We're excited to be able to chat with you today about how you use OmniFocus.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for having me. I'm excited as well.
Absolutely. And Victor, talk to us a little bit about where you find yourself geographically, and then a little bit more color and flesh around who you are and what you find yourself doing career-wise.
So I'm in Toronto, so I'm in Canada, but I used to live in the States as well, so basically North America in general where I reside. And career-wise, I'm a programmer. I think of myself still as a programmer, even though I do less programming day-to-day. I used to be at Google working on Angular, and then we started our own company, so now I'm kind of co-running this company with my co-founder, Jeff Cross.
That's fantastic. And talk to us more about NX and NX Cloud. This is probably one of those difficult questions to answer where you're at a place where there are people who maybe don't have the level of technical knowledge or expertise, and they say, hey, so what do you do? How do you kind of condense that down for somebody where they understand, okay, at least I get the general idea of what Victor's involved in?
Basically, I'm interested in tooling in general. I mean, maybe that's part of my obsession with like semi-productivity tooling as well. I like idea of like tooling of getting more leverage out of what you do like in day-to-day. NX is a dev tool. So while I was at Google, we're working on some build tools there. And NX is a build tool for programmers to build software. Usually software is scale. It's used a lot by like sort of larger teams, larger enterprise, but not only, by small teams as well. So that's kind of my main area of interest is building tools for programmers who essentially build tools for someone else. It's like a very meta, like a second derivative kind of thing, right? So I do like it a lot because then I can use it myself. I dog food it. I strongly believe in dog food. And I imagine you folks dog food stuff as well. Like you use your own software, so it feels nice to use what you build because you build for yourself as well, not just for other people. Yeah, at least you know there's at least one customer who is happy with it, or at least someone happy with it is you.
For us, I absolutely agree with understand, man, the idea of dogfooding where it's like, let's make sure that this is at least solving the problem that we have for ourselves and then taking it that step further and seeing if other people are interested in that as well.
100%. A lot of the quality, the notion of quality in general, I find it's very tricky to define because sometimes you just cannot define it. It's not just numeric, like it is faster, like things like that you can define, right? But a lot of quality is not fully describable. When you have tactile experiences, for example, you see a thing that has a good Pioneer VP. I think it was released in 1963, a long time ago, right? The click is very satisfying. You cannot describe the click. It's just there. Unless you use it yourself, you won't be able to tell a very good click from a not a very good click. It's like you have to feel it day to day to be like very satisfying click. It actually makes a big difference. A good click compared to a bad click makes a big difference, you know, and it's worth whatever 10x the price is compared to a regular click pen. And the same stuff with software. If you use it and you dog food it, use it yourself, you can actually achieve that quality. You know, almost like there is a book, if you read it, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, which was written in the 60s. It's a very good book. I really liked it. He talks about quality a lot in there. And I really dig it. I think that his description of quality there is like the whole book is basically should be a book on building software. I kind of get it that there is this almost imperceptible feeling of quality that you can only improve once you start yourself. I strongly believe in dog food.
How somebody arrives at something they consider to be that intangible quality, is it more art? Is it more science? Where do you end up in the space where you arrive at that intangible space? You're like, okay, this does work, but how does somebody get there to say, I think we've landed on something that people will enjoy and find quality in collectively?
I think it's when you look back, it's like, you know, you can rationalize it. Anything you want, if you look back, I think that's what happens. It succeeded because those things were quality, because you could do this and that worked or whatever. But I'm not sure if the person who is in a moment designing it, like the designer, the engineer, or whoever, they are like, you know what, it needs to have a certain click. I like the share as well. The share is also good quality, right? When you pull back, it has to have a certain feel in your bag. I'm not sure if that is fully conscious, or even if it is, if it's numerically expressible, or it's just like feels good, it's satisfying, the sound feels good, something about it works. I found that some things are very easy. We are build tools, therefore, think that performance matters. You look at numbers, smaller, better, faster, very easy. I imagine for you folks, that would be like latency. Okay, latency matters, less latency is always better, more latency is never better. That is figured out. But there is sort of second category where the bigger impact is. Okay, something is off, it just doesn't feel right. You kind of walk around for months, sometimes for years. And then after years, like, if we just do it this way, oh, now it feels elegant. Few ideas, it's elegant, it just feels smaller, it's easier to describe. And then you're like, oh, we should have always done it. It's because of this, because then that property is true, and because of, you know, maybe those thoughts are somewhere in there, and you think about them here and there, and it, something gets triggered. But I think a lot of great stuff, good engineering and design and software is art, but not art in a sense that visual art, but just something intuitively within you tells you that you need to explore this, because you use it enough, it feels off, and then you're like, okay, it's better.
It's such a great point, though. Some of it's hindsight is 20/20. You don't realize it until after the fact. And then it's like, oh, of course, why weren't we always doing it this way? But that doesn't come unless you develop this longstanding relationship where maybe it isn't a quantifiable set of steps that gets you there. But as you get to know either the product or whatever it is that you're working on more and more, that puts you in the realm, in the bullseye space to be able to land on that insight.
Well, 100%. And the part that makes it even worse is that there is this is water talk by DFW, right? While you're within an environment, you don't see it. You are using something, like, oh, it feels good. And then you see it very sharply when you use something else similar, but not the same. So you're saying, okay, I'm not going to drive this car. I'm going to drive a different car. It's still a car. You just drive a different car. You immediately see, oh, well, those things about that cover much better. Because you always thought it's something that irritates you. You're like, oh my God, this thing here is just not as good. And you always thought it's one thing. That thing over there doesn't have this problem. Let me try the thing over there because clearly it doesn't have this problem. And you go, you know, try the thing over there. And like the first hour, you're very happy. Like, okay, that problem that I really hated over there, it's not present here. I'm very happy, very satisfied. Look, it's perfect. And then the day after, like, okay, nothing else here works though. Because all those things that I didn't pay attention to because they were just so easy were in that other product. And now when I switched the product, I could clearly see what was done right over there. So that ability to not notice. And that's kind of part of the good design. The good design of a lot of those tools that are meant to be like affordances for something else. They enable you to do something else, but they are not the things in themselves. It's meant to be just there and kind of work, ideally without introducing friction. Because there is no friction, you don't notice it. You only notice if you switch to something else. Oh, you know, then you kind of feel it right away.
Do you have any recollection as to when you first came across the Omni Group or OmniFocus more specifically? Was there a day of time where, oh, I didn't know about this, I do now? Or was there just this growing awareness over time? Like, oh yeah, that's the product and it does some task management stuff, but over time just decided to use it.
I probably tried. I'm sure I looked at OmniFocus 1 at some point, but my full-time usage when I like really got deep was when OmniFocus 2 was released around that time. Then I really got in there because some of the folks I followed who I did respect in the engineering space used it. Those folks had the same obsession with ergonomics.
Right.
Things have to be just kind of done really well where you feel like there's a lot of thought put into the just interactions. Basic interactions done right, to me, are worth a lot because you do those basic interactions like 1,000 times a day. If you have an unusual interaction, it takes a long time. I actually don't care. It's an unusual interaction. The basic interaction has to be right. And I thought, okay, if those people are like obsessed about it, let me try. I don't remember the exact year, but it was right after OmniFocus 2 was released. I don't know, maybe a few months after, around that time. So quite some time.
For using software for such a long time, I mean, OmniFocus 2, I think, came out early 2010. So it's got to at least be roughly 10 years. I know you had some thoughts surrounding this process of using software for a long time. Do you mind breaking that down or diving a little bit deeper into what that means for you?
Yeah, I really like the idea. I also like new things as well. When I see something new, like, oh, look at this. It's exciting or whatever, right? We're all human. I'm excitable. I like software in general, right? So it's not like I only use software for 10 years and nothing else, right? But there is something about using something for a long time, right? When you use something for a long time and it's no longer exciting, but it provides a lot of value. When I say long, it's like in a good way. It's just there. It does what it's supposed to do. It's not breaking. It's not surprising me in a negative way. It works smoothly. It's part of my day to day. In a way that it just is, right? Like a good coffee machine would be a good coffee machine. You use it, it works, and it gives you coffee. You're very happy with it. It doesn't have to excite you with new colors and new music. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. So I strongly believe in this kind of, once you commit to something and you use it for some number of years, and it becomes part of your muscle, you don't have to think about it. It's just there. It's one of the first things you install when you have a new computer or whatever, if you don't, you know, migrate in some way. to me, that it just gives you a lot more leverage. I also write by hand. You have to really learn it. It's just nice to have this capability that you can just use freely, right? And so OmniFocus is one of those things where, because I use it for so long, and I use it in different ways. I structured my things in different ways. I export tags in lots of different ways when OmniFocus 3 was released, and I do some things here and there, and I did more things, I did fewer things, and I tried a lot of scenarios. But generally speaking, the basic core capability was there. At some point, it's a nice thing that it doesn't cost you anything mentally, but it just gives you stuff because it becomes such a part of your day-to-day. And I have maybe 5 apps that I use like that for such a long time that you kind of get used to, and they're just part of your experience, maybe even less than 5. Because, I mean, obviously, like, everyone uses Chrome and things like that, but those things you can swap around and they actually don't have the same effect, because I think that the competition is much closer to each other, right? But in terms of more unique apps, it would be OmniFocus, would be like IntelliJ, and like maybe Alfred. There are a few apps that I use for like a bazillion years, and the effect is very good. So I really believe if you find something, just commit to it. Explore new things, try things out. I tried many things during those 10 years. Tried lots of different apps that kind of do a similar thing just to see what we do well, etc. But yeah, I always very quickly come back. I tried the product mystery, like I tried it for a week.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about what your system looks like currently. You mentioned it morphs and evolves over time. So, you know, any given day, it might be something different. But is there anything about your system where you would say, you know, I think that's uniquely mine? I've seen different ways that people set things up and structure workflows and things, but this is how it works for me.
Yes, I went through lots of different setups, and it partially depends on what type of work I did. My primary work was individual contributor type of work, where it was like a lot of creative work, mostly by myself with some few interactions. I used it in one way. This day, a lot of my work is connecting people, connecting ideas, and making sure things are unblocked. And so my usage changed. And I also went from going super hardcore and only tracking things on my focus to now I do that, and I also write on a piece of paper as it for my like current in-progress stuff. So what I do currently is actually surprisingly much simpler than what I used to do, but it still works well. So I use projects like hierarchy projects, depending on with different very sophisticated folder structure, because I do like the idea of like grouping things visually. It helps me. I try to do like tags only, but okay, that's more fun. I like the idea of like having a tree. And I do use tags for if I want to annotate things for like team members that I want to interact with, or ideas or teams. So basically something that helps me look stuff up very quickly. And to track progress. So I use tags to track progress when I would say what stage is in the context in which I want to communicate it, like a meeting or whatever. I use several perspectives. My perspectives are less, maybe I don't know how unusual they are, but I have basically the big three. Just annotate projects in a certain way visually with basically have a special name thing. And then I would only show projects that have that name pattern, right? And yep. So that would be my like, okay, just focus on the three. And it's kind of the most important bits. And then I have everything that is reasonably active. The last part is just the rest of it plus random notes, because I use OmniFocus not just for actionable things, but just for notes as well. I actually think it's just a good outline lookup thing. When I need to have a hierarchy of notes, a replacement for sticky notes. If I would have like, I know, a few hundred sticky notes, right? That kind of that. I would write a thought, I put something in there, like, okay, that context in which I want to look it up. Because OmniFocus is the only thing I trust. I had like this whole, at some point, the diagram of different ways of storing knowledge. I kind of separate knowledge in two ways. One, that is, I need to make sure that if I write something down, it will come back to me at some point.
Yes.
The recall will be forced. Versus if I write something down in here, I have to think about a recall. If I want to, I want this receipt. I don't want the receipt to be once we hey, think about this receipt. No, in that case, it will go into, I need to initiate the lookup kind of thing. With OmniFocus, it's kind of both. I do initiate lookups, obviously, but I will say it's a place where I know if I write something down at some point, even if I get to initiate a lookup, it will come back to me. So like anything that I think I for sure need to remember, which is all the things, would go in there. So it ended up being like a weird mishmash of actionable things, delegation things, status updates that I also write down there because it's much easier for me to track, and random sticky notes. Because the moment I thought about it, it's not a task or a to-do list kind of thing, but just a big outliner with sophisticated status management, I could just put a lot more stuff on there. And it works really well because the ergonomics is all perfectly executed. I do like it for that.
What suggestions might you have for somebody who is maybe just getting started in task management? It doesn't have to be like an OmniFocus specific thing, but is there anything that you've seen as you've grown over the years that, you know what, this has been the biggest low-hanging fruit that I've been able to use and implement that it's really, really helped me out as I've implemented more levels of responsibility in my life?
I mean, that's kind of point one, right? Make sure that you don't have to remember things. This is almost like the GTD kind of part. which at some point I was like really believed in it. Then I kind of, you know, whatever, you know. But I think some parts that I still strongly believe it, and they're like, don't keep it in your head. Head is for thinking thoughts, not for, you know, remembering thoughts. You know, write it down somewhere. That's kind of one. And the second part, which I think is where I really think it some of the knowledge management tools fall short, is that it's only important to write it down somewhere if that thing is going to be used. If you just keep writing things down and then you never, people also, I collect so much information, but do you look it up? No. Then like, might as well not collect it. We are living at a time where the most important skill is not information or gathering information, is like filtering it to like something that is a smaller set that is more essential. I think OmniFocus in this case actually helps because there are mechanisms for resurfacing things that are quite easy to use and they enable you to do that. But basically the idea here is that if you collect something, it's better to collect a little bit less, but in a way where it is actually useful. In my case, if it's useful, it goes to OmniFocus for sure. If it's probably not going to be useful, I still collect it. It's just, it's not like kind of polluting the more filtered set where like, I really need to remember these few hundred things. There are other 10,000 things I might need, but probably not. Okay, that lives elsewhere. If I mix them in the same place, okay, just bad things happen because you're either overwhelmed by just the amount of noise you see.
And some of it's philosophical too, because you're forced to say, okay, am I really just capturing this because it's a thought that I don't want to lose? And I really may, you know, have something to do with that later on, or it might be useful, like you say, to me, or am I just capturing this, you know, for posterity just because I don't want something, a part of me to go away? I don't know. I don't know what the reason is.
I know what you mean. I mean, yes, it depends on what your objective is. If you're thinking you've been productive, that's different. If you're thinking, I just think it's important for me to have it, that's different. It depends on what you want to get to.
You talked to me about a status kind of driven workflow here where tracking things that are in progress. You know, you've got tags that are manufactured lists for remembering based on certain criteria. Do you use any automation in OmniFocus as well?
I do use repeated tasks, lots of them, right? To the degree where at some point I went overboard. Because at some point, you kind of always go, and that's, to me, it's like a weird thing that everyone has to go through. Like, you either rely on push or pull. Pull idea is the best part. You go inside, like, you know what? I cannot forget to undress myself before I go to bed because, like, it's self-evident. Like, the process forces you to. But if something sounds like that, like, okay, you know, like some even mundane things, my bin, I need to, you know, put out the bins for garbage collection. Okay, I don't see them, so I can easily forget them. So, like, figuring out how to do this push and pull well, what is better to be pulled, whereas, like, the just circumstance forces you to and pulls the work out to you, comparing to, like, okay, you need to be reminded, right? So, but I do use some of the things like that. I used to be in the more sophisticated stuff, like, okay, I put it over here, it's transformed to a task, and then put it over there. And at some point, it went to this, the issue I talked before you. There's a lot capture that was signal to noise ratio just went down for me.
Yes.
It works for some other people. So, you know, if it works for other folks, it's fantastic.
Talk to me more about that dance between ergonomics and features and the friction that's introduced and just a little bit of how that finds itself showing up in your world as you're working.
Except to me, the ergonomics and the features are in conflict, essentially. Not always, but a lot of the times they're in conflict because, and the most ergonomic thing I could think of in terms of the basic example, like if you take a piece of paper or like a notepad and you write with a pen, it's very ergonomic. It's always on, it works, it's very easy to use. It's very hard to use it incorrectly. It does very little, but for what it does, it's perfect. It provides a fine experience. The tactile experience is very nice. The paper is soft. It's nice to touch. If you look at an iPad, iPad does what most of all my features. But the writing is like a five-year-old because it, you know, texture is different. So like it's just different. A lot more features. And I would argue in terms of like the actual act of writing, it's a lot less ergonomic. It just does a lot more. So now you have a trade-off. Do you want all those features? You like just being able to store stuff or resize or remove? Or do you want to have none of it, but the most beautiful tactile experience? It's kind of the same like form and function. There is some of it as well, right? Where sometimes you say, what does matter? Is it less, but like, super high quality, so it feels good? Or more, but is like, you know, where it becomes a bit clumsy, right? I actually think that OmniFocus is exceptionally ergonomic. I know some people say, well, it's more complex than both. I think it's actually exceptionally ergonomic if you look at the outline manipulation part. Because that's, to me, what it is. It's a very sophisticated outline manipulator with nice UI around it. Being like, I like thinking in trees and doing outlines and lots of other things. And the ease with which I can do it here, right, manipulate this outline, assign attributes, etc., is very high. Right, it's very high where I think when OmniFocus 4 was still in beta, which I used, it wasn't working perfectly sometimes. And you're like, it actually was a big deal because ergonomics, like the features was there and it was actually fine. It was usable, but there was some imperfection with where its focus would go, etc., right? Which just like, that just bothers me so much. in a way, like a pen that is faulty would bother you if you write. If somehow you write, like, sometimes, and you have to restart, it just breaks your flow. For me, the ergonomics part is the part that doesn't break. If you use it effortlessly, you don't think about it, it doesn't require anything. It just works. I really highly, highly value it, because then if you find anything like that, it doesn't have to be software in general. Very few things are executed so well where it's just, there's nothing you need to, you're like, okay, this is fantastic. This works really well.
It's so interesting. You mentioned that too, about that, because of the, I think of the metaphor with the cars that you were talking about, where you sit down in the car and there's, and it might not even be a bad thing, but the gear shift is over here now and it used to be over here. Like, just that mental fatigue that you have of, like you mentioned, it breaks your flow. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. And the issue is that when you add too many features, like, they have to be connected in a coherent way. Unless it's like, you can have an app with lots of features, but every feature is completely distinct. Okay, there is this thing. Let's imagine OmniFocus would just integrate with OmniGraph. And it would be like, you press a button, OmniGraph starts. Okay, then there is no cost ergonomically, because those sets of features are distinct, right? But presumably, we're talking about features that are kind of interconnected. The more features you add into your kind of interconnected space, the more there is opportunity for friction. I think I'm more gravitating towards, you can do just a little bit less, which I actually think OmniFocus does a little bit less. I know people do compare with like the most simplest of to-dos to whatever, but generally speaking, I actually think it does fairly little. I mean it in a good way. It has a particular feature set it wants to support. It supports that feature set really well, and it doesn't try to add five other things to the feature set. It does add a little bit here and there, but I think the balance is still correct. Where I could, the capabilities are pretty powerful, I can do a lot of stuff, but they're almost like 100 out of 100, right? And that matters more, right? I would say, like, if you don't add any new features, I'll be pretty happy. I don't need more features, because it's, it's fine, right? Like, the core value there, like, if you look at whatever the pens, like the ballpoint pen was invented some late 19th century, I think, some time ago, and it's basically the same. And it's, thank God, we don't need a new, like, it's fine. You can refine a few things here and there, but it's a perfect design, right? And it's worth appreciating when you arrive at something that kind of works really well and really doesn't require that much to provide value. It already provides a lot of value.
I love that, because how much can you improve the pen moving years without it feeling like it's a gimmick of some sort? So I
that's right,
that.
Exactly. That's, yeah.
Talk to me about, is there anything that you consider in your journey that, or you would consider to be like, that was kind of a mistake, or that was a bit of a misstep? I thought that doing this to my system or changing it in that way would be an improvement for me, but as I did it, and you mentioned before about maybe overcomplicating things or running too many automations or too granular with tasks where, you know what, the context is going to remind me anyway, so it's not really that big of a deal. But anything else that shows up for you where you're like, I really thought that was going to work out for me. If you can maybe save some other people some grief by mentioning it, they're saying, you know what, maybe I'll just skip that part. Maybe I will do that myself.
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, I imagine everything that didn't work for me would work for someone else. So I'm not saying that when I say, okay, that didn't work for me, that is bad. It might be great for someone else in Finger. So I tried to do several things that did work as well. At some point, I was into time blocking a lot. I'm still kind of, but less so. And I'm like, okay, let me encode time blocking in OmniFocus. I know people do it, and it's fine. It really didn't work. The idea of, like I said, this is a morning task, this is an evening task. I actually don't need that. And I think, to me, that ended up being too much push, so to speak, right? Where the work was just thrown at me instead of just saying, you know what, I'm not just able to do it in the morning, or something came up, I'm just too tired or whatever. So I don't want to be re-tagging everything from morning to evening and every time. So like, to me, that didn't work. The other part that time blocking-wise didn't work, which I know worked with someone else, and it's good for them, like assigning kind of the energy level, like time. So there will be a 2-hour task. So, because then I started with my particular engineering mind. Like, I have 7 tasks. Well, that will be more like 20 minutes, because it has to, like, honestly. And then I will be like, okay, I completed this task. But it was part of the task when they were there. It just bugs me beyond belief, right? Yeah. Yeah. Whereas right now, like, okay, I have those things. I'm actually thinking less about task, unless it's like a collection of miscellaneous tasks. But if it's a project, it kind of doesn't matter when I complete what. Like, I'm working on this project thing. So I will look at those, and then at the end of the day, like sometimes in the middle of the day, but all the time, I just complete whatever I done, and I could restructure the whole project on a spot and say, I have those 7 things with some particular hierarchy. I'm going to rewrite the whole hierarchy at the end of the day, because my understanding of the problem has changed. And that's fine. The moment I assign time, so any other things, it becomes a lot trickier, because now I have to carry over certain things for it to make sense mathematically. And just bugged me beyond this. So I kind of went into this. And in general, I think I went into a lot more, it's okay to just rewrite things. Sometimes I would look at my project and that looks fine, like 5 or 6 projects. But sometimes it's very hard to know how they relate. Because is they interconnected? The work I do is where all these projects are part of like a bigger whole. And I'll be like, you know what, those 5, those 7 other projects structured differently. And I'll be like, you write everything. Some of them will be in one big thing. I became a lot less obsessed about continuity of a project comparing to, like what I would do on a piece of paper. On a piece of paper, I would just say, scratch it and just write in a different way. So I kind of do the same. And that's where the ergonomics matters, because it's so easy to do. I don't have to like say, now I have to click a bunch of things. I can do it in like a minute in a way that's very easy. Anyway, so that's what structuring about time, like time blocking thing didn't work for me super well. In terms of other stuff that OmniFocus specifically, that didn't, a lot of things didn't work for me in other areas. A lot of automation, again, didn't work for me because I find that the act of processing stuff, like say an email to a task, actually thinking specifically what I want to do, doing it in a very conscious way, and actually maybe it helps because a lot of the time the tasks are not one-to-one. Right, so the one email could create a bunch of tasks, one email could affect a bunch of tasks, et cetera, et cetera. Right? Multiple emails could affect the same task. And the moment this one-to-one thing is enforced in some way, I find it creates like a very rigid structure where you look at it, okay, I have 17 things and in your head, it's actually 5 things that's different. You always have to like draw a piece of paper like that's actually what's going on. The more automation you have, I think, because automation is a bit more rigid, I think, the more in my case, it creates a structure that doesn't actually reflect how I think about the problem. So I always have to like map what's written down to what I actually think, which kind of sucks. If I do it by hand, the mismatch of my mental model and what's in the app is less. So when I look at it, like, okay, it actually matches my mental model, right? And it helps me.
And it's too fluid. You know, your workflow sometimes is much too fluid to be able to say, this is the way it's supposed to be, so much so forever that you have to sit there and spend time rethinking about it all the time. So
that's it.
Victor, I love this conversation. You have a brilliant mind, and hopefully folks will find it stimulating. How can folks connect with you and what you're up to and find out more about NX?
So if you're a programmer and you like build tools, okay, go to nx.dev, right? And you can find out about NX. You can reach me on Twitter. You can reach me on Blue Sky. That's about it.
Victor, this has been awesome. I really appreciate your time hanging out with us. I know you're a busy person, and it's been a fabulous conversation. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Hey, and thank all of you for listening today, too. You can find us on Mastodon at The Omni Show at omnigroup.com. You can also find out everything that's happening with The Omni Group at omnigroup.com/blog.